All right, this is an interview with William Henry Gwenn for the Youngstown State University World War II Project by Stephen R. Ard at 3440 Hadley Avenue, Youngstown, Ohio, on the 20th of June, 1980, at approximately 10:20 a.m. Bill, when and where were you born?
Pennsylvania, April 11, 1960.
And what was your childhood in Patton like?
Well, Patton was a coal mining town.
And it's a small town, approximately maybe 4,000 people at that time. And I went to school, Second Ward School, went there through high school. That's where I graduated from.
And was your dad a coal miner?
He had been there for a number of years, and then he went into the, he still worked for the same company, the Pennsylvania Coal and Coke, but the last 20 years, I imagine he was rewinding armatures and motors, putting new bearings and that around the mines.
Okay. As a kid growing up in Canton, what did you do for fun?
Well, I did a lot of fishing, and we played ball. Pick berries, anything that grew, mother canned, and that was our went on. I did a lot of swimming.
You recall the depression?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Can you tell me about that a little bit?
Well, I tell the kids today that I remember the days that we used to go out and pick potatoes. When our farmers had the potatoes, we got one meal, and on one year we'd get 2 bushels of potatoes for the day. Another year, we'd get one meal, and we'd get 50 cents for the day. Things were rough.
Which was more valuable to you, the potatoes or the 50 cents?
Well, that I don't know, because I turned over to my mother. I turned it over to my
mother. During the Depression, or was he laid off?
Well, he worked most of the time. Worked most of the time.
How about the people in Patton? Did most of them have jobs, or were they hit pretty bad?
They were hit hard. Anywhere you could find a job, why pick up a few dollars here or there. Well, not dollars, pick up a few cents.
When did things start getting better?
Well, let me see, in 1933, I believe I went to the CC camps for about a year.
What did you do in the camps?
At the 3C camps? Mostly it was over near Slate Run, Pennsylvania. And what we did was cut fire lines, build roads, and stuff like that. In the 3C camps.
And did you get paid for that?
No, that was the government. The government had the 3 C's, Civilian Conservation Corps.
But I mean, you didn't get paid for doing this?
Oh, yes, we got $30 a month.
$30 a month.
We got $30 a month on our board.
Mm-hmm. About how old were you then?
Oh, 17.
What, can you tell me what it was, did you work hard, or?
Oh, yes, we had our jobs to do, but, you started to work at about 8 o'clock in the morning. You worked till 12, and you had an hour off for lunch, and you worked on up from 1 till 4:30, and then the truck brought you back into camp.
Mm-hmm. What kind of camp was it? Can you describe
it? It was all tents. All tents it was, in a mess hall. And it was right up, way back in the hills. That's what we done then.
Okay, now, when you, were you drafted or did you volunteer for
the service?
No,
I was drafted. I was drafted.
And what year is this now?
1942.
Okay. Where did you do your training?
Camp Wheeler, Georgia.
Tell me what Camp Wheeler was like?
It was an infantry training camp. And, you had calisthenics, you went on 25-mile hikes, you learned all the rifle, all about the rifle, machine guns, mortars. And it was hot.
How long did you spend there?
We had 13 weeks training there.
And where'd you go from there?
And there, from there, I went to Camp Reynolds. And I didn't go out with the first shipment because I had my teeth pulled. And I was held up there for about 4 or 5 weeks, I imagine. From there, I went to Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry, we went to Casablanca. And I was there for, maybe a week at Fort Laodi. And I drove one of these amphibious trucks from there on up to Oran. And I was in a replacement depot there. And I worked about maybe a month or so at MBS headquarters.
What is that?
That's Mediterranean base headquarters.
And what did you do at the headquarters?
Clerical work. It's been so long ago that I can't remember on that. From there, I went up to Bizerte. We shipped out of Philippeville. Well, at that time I was in the infantry. I was assigned to the 9th Division, 60th Infantry, Company M. That was a heavy weapons outfit.
And what do you mean by heavy weapons?
Well, that's your mortars, your machine guns. And we left there. We went into Gela, Sicily, on either D2 or D3, third day after the invasion. We went through Sicily. The 9th Division moved back to Africa, and they took just the cavalry. I was a private then. They just took the cavalry, and they moved around to England to prepare for the invasion of, and they left all the people there, all the rest of the people, in the replacement depot.
Now, what do you mean, cadre?
Well, your non-com officers, your non-commissioned officers. And then while I happened to be in this replacement depot, I met a young lad here from Youngstown. And he was with the headquarters outfit. And when he learned I was from Youngstown, we got pretty friendly. And he asked me if I ever done any typing or any office work. And I told him yes, that I had. And he told me then that there was a good outfit that was going to open up. And he asked me if I'd be interested in going. I said, hey, anything you get out of the infantry, I'm interested in. And that is how I ended up in the quartermaster outfit.
Okay, can you tell me about the quartermasters?
Well, when I first went to them, they were just organizing it. And we come over to Italy, and we started to set up a depot there. Well, the field artillery was still behind us. When we started to set up a food depot up near a little town they called Marchionese. And we were up there for a couple weeks starting to get hit. Then we moved back into Naples. And I was stationed in Naples for best part of 2 years, maybe pretty close to 2 years anyhow. And the quartermaster outfit, like I say, it was a headquarters and headquarters company that we had all the different outfits that pertained to quartermaster below us. We had a TONE, that was what they called the number of men. There was 118 enlisted men, and there must have been, probably 40-some officers, headed by a lieutenant colonel and so many majors, so many captains, so many second lieutenants, and so many first lieutenants, and two warrant officers.
What rank did you hold? What rank did you hold?
T sergeant, technical sergeant. I could have went up to master sergeant, but at the time, I had enough time in to come home on rotation, if you know what I mean there. You spent so much time overseas, you were eligible to come home on rotation. Well, I had enough points to get home as a tech sergeant, but I didn't have enough points to come home as a master sergeant, because it was all brought down so many points, you know. That is the reason I turned down the master sergeants.
Tell me a little bit about what Naples is like.
Well, at that time, it was pretty dirty because it was well bombed. There were ships laying over in the harbor, and we got a lot of air raids. And
what'd you do during an air raid?
Went down to El Recoverall.
What's that now?
Well, they had all way underground. Almost all the buildings and what they called them, just like tunnels, all underground. Maybe it was down there 40, 50 feet when there was an air raid.
Now, when was these, like a bomb shelter?
Yeah.
When were these built? Were they built
before
we got there?
Built before we ever got there. I think the Italian people and when the Germans was in there, they had built them.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe how large they were underground?
Well, I'll tell you, I could go from, we were billeted up on, was it Corso Umberto, I believe. And we could walk underground from there all the way up to where our main building was downtown. I can't tell you the name of the street it was. It was about a mile and a half. I know we could go that far, just underground, walking. But there were just big rooms in there, you know, just for people to go whenever there was an air raid shelter.
Did you ever feel the bombs hitting on top?
No. Not once it was down the air raid shelter, you couldn't.
Never saw any damage down there from bombing either?
No, not from there.
Yes, I know that they were pretty solid.
They're mostly bombings whenever they came was down at the port. Well, we wasn't very far from the harbor. They were bombing those quite a bit. Oh, you had glass and that was broken, you know, and a few times you were jarred out of your bed at night, you know, whenever the air raid came and you weren't expecting it just then. Well, that happened a few times, but not too often. The sky would be lit up.
How'd you find the people around Naples?
Friendly, very friendly. And, of course, in where we were building, we always had garbage cans out, and they were always going through the garbage. They were hard hit.
Did you ever talk to any of the civilian population?
Oh, yes, yeah.
What'd you talk about?
Most anything. I never saw so many people who could talk with their hands and try to make you understand, because I didn't know that much Italian. Of course, you would run into a few that did speak the English language. There was a lot of them over there then that they'd tell you, oh yeah, they've been to this country, Bridgeport, Pittsburgh, mostly in the steel mining places, and they picked up and went back to Italy. Found a number of those people. Hmm. Yes.
Did you ever discussing with the population the war itself? What did they think about Mussolini, about Hitler? Did you ever talk about that?
Well, they were all happy when Mussolini was whenever he was killed. I happened to be up in Turin. No. Oh, where was Mussolini hung up at, him and his girlfriend? I was there 2 days after they cut the body down. You can still see the blood not. No, the people they were just, well, just like a bunch of kids. They were, seemed to be awful happy about it. But I still think that Mussolini done a lot of good for Italy in places that I had seen.
What do you mean?
Well, up in the swamplands, where he had irrigated all them and made them into farms. That was through Mussolini's regime. He had done that, I believe it was good for the people there, but he just happened to get mixed in with Hitler, and from there on down, there wasn't much there.
All right, let's go back to the Quartermaster Corps, and tell me a little bit about what you did there.
Well, I was a good paper shuffler. I worked with the Colonel Brown, and he sat on that side of the desk, and I sat on this side of the desk. And I got all the reports from that came from the message center over. And what he thought was interesting, he used to tell me what you thought, needed attention. Why, make sure he seen them. And things that weren't that important, why, I could file them away. But we had reports, oh my God. More reports to make out than you could shake a stick at.
And what kind of reports was he interested in? What kind of reports did he lead to you?
Well, I had to make out a lot of reports on the amount of stuff that came in. And then, of course, I got reports what ship was coming into the harbor, what material was on those ships pertaining to the quartermaster. And then we had to make a report on all the different companies below us, their VD reports. Every month that had to go.
And, was that high?
Very high. High among the colored units. It was high. Yeah.
Can you estimate a percent?
Yeah. It was high. Believe me, it was.
50%?
Well, I wouldn't say it was 50%, but I'd say it was better than now. It all different outfits was more hit than others. But during the service units, they were the highest. They were the highest, and it'd run 20-25%, which is high.
Now, what do you mean service units?
Well, the service units was the outfits that got the stuff ready and put them on the trucks. In other words, they worked in the I can't think of the name I want to use right now. In these depots, we had a class 2 and 4 depot, which handled nothing but clothing and. Then we had the class 1 that handled nothing but food. We had refrigeration outfits. We had graves registration outfits. We had salvage and reclamation outfits. And we had outfits that, an outfit that did nothing but captured enemy material. And of course, all those reports, they come through our office. And then I had to keep up to date on the history of the outfit. There's all kinds of reports, and I don't know where I put that book, but I cannot find it right now for love nor money. It would give you all the information just about anything that ever came into Italy and anything that ever went out.
Okay. What kind of material the captain let you handle?
I didn't handle any of the material.
No, but I mean in terms of the reports that he said you can file these and he wants to see certain other ones. What kind of stuff did he let you take care of without even showing it to you?
Well, there's a number we used to get these here articles of war, and I'd read them over and he would read them over. And they'd file them away, but there was a lot of papers that didn't mean a damn as far as the war was going on, because this outfit that I was in, we weren't like an infantry outfit or anything else. You know, it had to get up and had to take their calisthenics and had to do this. What they were interested in most is that we got our job done. In other words, it was just like you going to work here at a company. They wasn't interested in what you did on your spare time, as long as you were there and got your job done and do your work. That Fifth Army was taken care of, and everything like that, and everything went as smooth as possible.
What type of things did you supply to the Fifth Army?
All their clothing, all their food. That was the biggest item, all their food and all their clothing.
Did you run into any problems in terms of supply?
Not too much. Oh, there's trucks that they'd lose a few trucks or something like that, but we didn't have anything to do with that. That was different outfits that was hauling it there. We would hear about it, but I didn't have any reports like that to make out. No.
Okay, now some of these other companies you mentioned, like grave registration, what is their function?
Grave registration, they were an outfit that buried a lot of the soldiers who were killed in action. They had to identify them. And after they got that information there, it was sent back to our office, and we had a special office there that had to write up the report on each and every one of them. Their positive identification, and if they couldn't identify them that way, why, they'd have tooth charts and everything else made from them. And that would have to come back. They'd make their reports out. And I didn't see their reports that they'd made out. I know what they made them out. I've seen them already, but I mean, they didn't come through our office. They were sent back to Washington. And then I guess Washington notified the next of kin, tell them exactly what had happened, when it happened, and where they were buried. And they had a number of grave registration graves. I mean, the graves up around Natuna, large cemeteries that they took care of. That was graves registration.
Now, you talked about if you couldn't identify them, you said they used the teeth. How are they made, teeth charts?
Yeah.
What did they compare them with?
Well, when you were inducted to the Army, they took teeth charts, or if you had your teeth fixed, or fingerprints, if there was anything left to take fingerprints with. And then maybe there would be four or five that happened to be in an airplane crash, mostly, that they were pretty badly burned up, and they would bury them, and they would list one of the following, maybe there's four or five. They knew who they were, but they couldn't identify any of the one bodies.
I see. Okay. Can you tell me the function of some of the other groups?
Well, class two and four was all your clothing, all your bedding, that was their biggest item. Items were most of their clothing and their bedding and stuff like that. There was always need for them in the, in the Fifth Army and every place else. We supplied all the clothing for all the outfits, shoes. And they had a big replacement depot on up near Aversa. Yeah. And salvage and reclamation, anything that was possibly salvaged, we had companies there that did nothing than repair salvaged equipment, that could be repaired.
Is this enemy or this is our equipment?
Our equipment, mostly.
Did we pick up enemy equipment?
Oh, yes.
And what did we do with that?
Well, that was in a big storehouse I couldn't tell you what all they did with it. I couldn't tell you what all they did with it.
Okay.
Then we had a remount outfit that had mules and horses that were used to pack stuff up the mountains. That outfit was under us.
Couldn't it be gotten up by a motorized vehicle? You mean mule was the only way to transport?
Oh, some of it. Yeah, mule was the only way. And let me see what else was under. Oh, railheads. Railheads, that is the people that operated the trains, shipping their stuff north out of Naples. We were there for a few years, and then they put an advanced outfit. When the fighting went way up above Rome, they opened up another part of our outfit. They split us up, and half of them went up there at Leghorn and opened up the same kind of dumps, you know, the food and clothing and everything else. But I happened to stay behind up until, within 6 months, I believe. The last 6 months I was in the service, I was moved on up there.
Did, can you think of any interesting stories that you may have been involved in or your commander involved in?
Not that I know of, not right offhand. Oh, little things may have happened, but nothing exciting.
Well, in terms of little things.
When we was in Naples, I did see Vesuvius when it was erupting. We could go up on top of the building that we were billeted in, and we could watch that at night. And of course, I did get a chance to go out to Pompeii and visit all that. I met my brother when we was overseas. I met him in Africa first. Then I kept in touch with him, and then whenever he went to, he was with the 817th Signal. They were in Naples for a short period, and then they went on up to Nettuno. And I kept in touch with him. I kept in touch with him. Well, when my brother-in-law came, he came there just the day after. Well, he came there just a couple of weeks before the war over in Eastern, in Germany and Italy, before they surrendered. I met him over there. Then after the war was over there, I did make a trip up to Switzerland, which I enjoyed very much.
How did you find Switzerland?
Beautiful. Beautiful country. Matter of fact, any part of the world that I've been, which isn't too much, if I had a chance to take my family there, would be to Switzerland. It is beautiful. And I was surprised then that the temperature in the cities very seldom goes below, very seldom gets down to zero in the wintertime. And the kids are all healthy looking.
Did you know the different nationalities in Switzerland?
In Switzerland?
Yeah.
Well, half of them, I believe, speak German, and the southern half, most of them speak Italian. Of course, there's a number of them that speak English too, but not too many of them. But it is beautiful country, believe me, it is. And it's healthy looking country too.
Now, when the war comes to an end, what happened to the Quartermaster Corps then?
Well, it was still there whenever I left them, that was for sure. Because you had a group there, you know, it had to stay there after. And I was offered a field office as a second lieutenant if I would sign up for 6 more months and stay there. But I said, no, I've been away from home long enough. I turned it down too. That was a field grade to be an officer. I'd been away from home long enough. I was anxious to get back home.
Going back before you went over to Italy in that area, do you remember your crossing? Did you go by convoy? On a troop ship?
I went on a troop, or on, I went over on the Mariposa. And it was a large luxury liner, I believe. It used to fly the Pacific. And we had no convoy. So we did go in a convoy. As a matter of fact, we went over in about 6 days.
Why didn't you have a convoy?
I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Did you, was it a, you know, did you run straight over?
Yeah. I think it took us 6 days.
Did you see any enemy?
No. We didn't see any enemy enemy planes or anything, because the war in Africa at that time was just about to close, or it was. Not the, if I'm not mistaken, it ended, the war in Africa ended in June the 10th, I believe. I'm not sure. And it was June, well, it was just a short time after the war ended in Africa that I got there. I can't tell you right now. We got there June the 25th. That's when I landed in Africa.
Okay.
Casablanca.
Let's go back to some of the types of reports that came across your desk. Can you tell me some more about some of the other things that you had to fill out? Well, for instance, was all this information, could it be released to anybody?
Well, I imagine now it could, but at that time it couldn't. It couldn't be. Because all our reports were either marked confidential, secret, or top secret.
What's the difference between those three classifications?
Well, that was up to Colonel Brown. That was up to Colonel Brown. Of course, we had to, how much stuff was arrived, how much food and all that, how many, that didn't matter what, how many tons of it went to Fifth Army and oh, there were just all kinds of reports.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did confidential mean? Who could find out about that if they wanted?
Well, it wasn't as important as some of the other papers that would come in. And of course, we received a lot of papers from what was it, MBS headquarters? That's a Mediterranean base, or no? PBS headquarters. Mediterranean base was the one that was located over in Africa. And they call it Peninsula Base Section as anything was in Italy. Well, they had all the big wheels there. Fifth Army headquarters, General Clark, and them, they were all based up at Caserta.
Okay, would his information that he sent through you, would that be secret or top secret?
Well, it all depends on exactly what it was. I can't recall anymore. Because some I thought that they overdid anyhow. They had it marked confidential, but it didn't mean that much.
When something was marked top secret or secret, who got to see it?
Well, generally, the colonel got to see it. Lieutenant Colonel, rather, Colonel Brown. And of course, a lot of the reports that I had written up, they were marked top secret. That's reports that, well, I imagine they were sent on back into Washington. That is the amount of food and the amount of this and that and everything else that was supplied to Fifth Army in a matter of tons. In other words, something that if it got into the enemy's hands in any way, it could be advantageous to them.
In what way? In a sense, if you knew the amount of tons of food, what would you know?
Well, that I couldn't tell you. Because just like I said, Colonel Brown used to sign his name to him. And he'd stamp. Now the reports that came in, he would give them to me to file. But on the top secret, I generally kept those in one file, but the secret or confidential, I generally read them. And the history of the outfit, I don't know why it was marked confidential, but it was. We had to send that report back into Washington.
How were these reports sent into Washington?
I couldn't tell you that.
Who'd you give them to?
I sent them to PBS headquarters.
Uh-huh. And then they took care of it from there. Did you send them down to the headquarters by courier?
Yeah, they were sent over. We had a lad that he just went around from office to office picking up these different things, and then when they come to the message center, he would just sort them out, and then they'd take them over to PBS headquarters.
Did he have a guard with him, or just by him, all by him? In other words, he's carrying top secret, what is stamped top secret?
Well, we could go from where we were billed that right into the PBS or headquarters, you know, without going outside as far as that goes.
Do you recall anything else about this information that you...
If I could find the book, yes, I could, because I have copies of them.
Did you ever run into spies?
No.
No. Was there ever any threat?
Any what?
Threat of spies?
No. No.
Did you take any precautions just in case?
Well, we had been in our office. You had to pull guard duty there, and there was always somebody in the office, one or two men there at all times, day and night. And everybody had to pull guard duty every now and then, but there was somebody there all the time. And all your information was always under lock and key.
Did you ever move through any sections of special food for, let's say, officers?
Well, that I couldn't tell you. I know that there were times whenever somebody had won a little extra or something that they would get it. Especially maybe in the meat line for officers for this whole, some kind of a little party or so, they would probably get it.
Did they ever?
But of course, I didn't have anything to do with that. I know it would go, but...
How about, did they ever capture any of the Italian wines and other alcohol?
If they did, I never saw any of it. I saw, they captured a lot of, toward the end of the war, we had an awful lot of Italian prisoners that worked around these camps. They worked around, their prisoners of war, that they did work around all the different depots and that.
What was their, what did they do? Laboring jobs?
Laboring jobs.
Did they load and unload the food, the clothing?
Well, I imagine so. I never went out to check on them or anything like that. But, I know that we had them. Yeah. Think of any more questions I can answer, I'll answer them.
Well, I'll just...
We could get a good picture of what was happening just by our reports that we had there, even though we were based in Naples. You could get a good picture just about how the war was going by the reports we'd get into the outfit. How many in the Graves registration? Matter of fact, there's a good friend of mine I met during the service there. I expect to go up and see him here this fall. But ever since his service, or ever since we got out of the service, 1 year he'll come down to visit me. Next year I go up to visit him. He's a mortician now up in Greenfield, Massachusetts. That's the only one of our whole outfit that I've really kept in touch with since I got out of the service.
What was his job in the...
He was in Graves Registration.
Graves Registration. Was his family in the mortician business before he went into the service?
Yes, he was, but whenever he was drafted as a cook and a baker. He cooked in baker school is what they sent him to. Yeah, and then once... he was a cook and baker in Africa, and once they set up this outfit, like I said, it was set up as the 6698 provisional outfit at first to try to find out an easier way to get the stuff, you know, the Fifth Army and everything else. So they put all these different outfits together, and that's where I met him. And we've been friends ever since.
What problems were you having getting material to the Fifth?
Mostly to see that it got there on time. We had a time schedule, you know, whenever it should leave and it should get there.
Mm-hmm. And why wasn't that time schedule functioning?
It generally always did.
But by consolidating, you made it more efficient, is that what you're saying?
By consolidating, we knew exactly where everything was at any certain time. Supposedly. Mm-hmm. Supposedly. Like I say, myself, I had nothing more to do with it than to make out reports, information that I got from all the different outfits it was under. That was their biggest job, was just consolidating. We had reports coming in just about every day. Well, every day from all the different places that was there, all the different units it was under. And we would have to consolidate all these reports.
Now, just offhand, this book that you haven't been able to find, what is in there?
A lot of the reports that I had made out.
Okay, in other words, you kept a duplicate set.
Yeah. And whenever I typed them up and that, I made a duplicate set.
Is that book pretty thick?
Huh?
Is it pretty thick?
Oh, it says about...
2 inches?
Oh, it must be in the neighborhood of that anyhow. I have weeded a lot of things out of there that I figured it didn't amount to a damn as far as I was concerned. A lot of reports like the VD reports, and I figured, hell, that's... I weed a lot of them out of there. But if I ever get a chance or ever run across it, I'll let you know. But I put it someplace, and I'll be doggone if I know wherever I put it. I know there's a lot of different reports in there that I had to make out, but I've made duplicate copies. I didn't make duplicate copies out of everything, no. No, a lot of it was top secret, and those reports. I wasn't going to have no part of them. I just keeping an extra set of them.
End of the tape.